Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Chin, lead servant and founder of Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies, where our mission is to enlighten, renew, and transform minds that lead to fruitful living. Our topic today is deleting deadly distractions. Deleting deadly distractions. In today's world, it's easy to get distracted. In fact, distractions are the cause of many accidents. Distractions can get in the way of our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. And how many of us have been driving down the road or going somewhere, talking to somebody else in the car, looking at the scenery around, listening to the radio, and lo and behold, you've reached your destination and don't even remember driving there? That's because we were distracted. Look at distractions as a part of life. When you see them as a part of life, you can develop a discernment and a perception and even a mental focus that empowers and enables you to know whether to address them now or later, or delete them altogether. As you grow more aware of what's part of life, your discernment, perception, and mental focus will become more developed, and what previously distracted you can now be used to propel you into a deeper, greater, more determined focus. Sometimes we give way to distractions, and when we do that, we're actually making the distraction more powerful or more important than the thing we're supposed to be focusing on. So even by placing too much emphasis on removing or dealing with distractions, like quieting everybody down or making sure everything is perfect and in its place so that you can get to the thing you're aiming toward, you actually giving power to the distraction. This is why we need the discernment and perception. So if you're going to delete deadly distractions and deal with deadly distractions, one of the things you have to do is intentionally shift your focus. You have to shift your focus. You have to choose. And oftentimes, many times, you have to have the courage to shift your focus. If you don't have the courage, then muster it up. Don't just keep going along just to get along. If the Holy Spirit is moving you to go against the grain of injustice, then go against the grain of injustice. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, there's a familiar story about busyness, the story of Martha and Mary. And the Bible says that Martha receives Jesus into her home. She receives a guest. So she's entertaining. And Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, the Bible says, that she was cumbered about much serving. And so what that means, that word cumbered in the Greek is to be distracted. It's to be perplexed. It's to turn to be distracted, or even Webster says to draw one's attention to a different object or different direction at the same time. It's to stir up or to confuse with conflicting emotions. And so Martha was cumbered. She was distracted about much serving. And asked, does thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid therefore that she help me. Well, one, we're not the boss of Jesus. And Mary chose to listen to Jesus' word. There will often be times when you will serve alone, and there will often be times when you can choose to serve or choose to sit at Jesus' feet. So, but the Bible clearly states that Martha was distracted about much serving. So Jesus told Martha that she was careful about many things. In other words, again, in translation, he was saying, you're anxious about many things. You have this anxiety, or you are mentally disposed with this serving. You're troubled with this thing. You're troubled about many things. You're pressed. You're confused. You're alarmed about many things. In other words, another word for this careful is turbid. It's kind of like thrown into disorder. You are just distracted and troubled and mentally disposed about many things. And Jesus was saying, be anxious for nothing, right? Philippians 4:6. Calm down, relax. I'm here right now. And so Martha didn't have the peace. She was distracted about much serving. So Jesus said, but one thing is needful, meaning necessary. One thing is demanded. That's another translation. One thing is required. He said, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. She decided to shift her focus. Mary decided to shift. She made a choice. And so we said that one of the things to deleting deadly distractions is the first thing you have to do is you need to choose. And Mary chose that needful thing, that necessary thing, that demanded and required thing, that good part means the right portion, the best thing. Mary chose the best thing. She chose what was necessary. She chose what was her spiritual food rather than natural food. So the Bible teaches us that Martha welcomed him in, but Mary sat at his feet. Martha was standing, but Mary was sitting. Martha was serving and doing and fretting and complaining and bossing Jesus around, but Mary was listening to his word. Mary didn't choose much or many things. She chose one. She chose one. So that first key is you need to choose. You need to choose one. Give that one thing your undivided attention, that one thing. If you're going to delete deadly distractions, you need to command. You need to sometimes command and just say what you need to say. In the story of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings 2, verse 1 through 11, God spoke to Elijah and told him to anoint Elisha as a prophet in his room. The King James states it, meaning in your place, in order to take your place. Elijah needed to anoint Elisha to take his place. And Elijah passed by Elisha and cast his mantle upon him. Then Elisha ran after Elijah. And he said, well, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. And Elisha went back and he killed the oxen and made a fire to cook the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he went after Elijah and began to minister to him. And so he said, tarry here is what Elijah said to him, because Elijah was getting ready to be taken up. And he had his protege following him. He told him, just tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He made a choice. The sons of the prophets at Bethel approached Elisha. Now, this is what they were doing. And he approached Elisha and said, the Lord will take your master up from your head today. But Elisha said to them, he said, I know it. Hold your peace. He commanded them, be quiet. And sometimes that's what you have to tell a distraction. If the distraction are your children, or you have to tell it to be quiet. And sometimes distractions are the thoughts that come into your head and your mind, and you have to cast them down. You have to tell them to be quiet, right? And so you've got a command. You have to make a command. You have to make a command. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, to the disciples, because of your unbelief, they weren't able to do something. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say or command of this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So sometimes you have to just tell it to be gone. In Luke chapter 4, verse 39 and 38, we know that many were healed by Jesus, and he rose, and then he went to a synagogue, and then he entered Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and she had a fever. Now, many times when people are sick, we're rebuking the devil. But the Bible clearly states in Luke 4:38 that when Jesus dealt with Simon's mother-in-law, that he didn't rebuke the devil. He rebuked the fever. He commanded the fever to leave. So he made a command. It was a distraction. He was in the synagogue. He was trying to teach. They had things to do. And then right after he rebuked the fever, right, they went on, and she went on and served Jesus. So sometimes, believe it or not, is a little sickness or a little cough or a little cold or a fever will try to get in the way of what you're trying to do, and you need to command it to leave. So we're talking about deleting deadly distractions. You make a choice, and then sometimes you have to make a commandment. The faithful Israelites, upon their return, this is when they were returning from Babylon back to Judah. The Bible tells us in Ezra chapter 4 how God stirred the heart of King Cyrus to proclaim and to write that the Lord had charged him to build him a house or a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And so those who were about and around, they were neighbors really, strengthened their hands with the vessels of silver and gold and all kinds of things. And they built the altar first, and they offered sacrifices, and they made burnt offerings, but the foundations were not yet laid. The foundation still wasn't laid. So they set aside the work of the temple and put the workmen in order. They had to put things in order, right? Gave everybody their job assignments. They laid the foundation. They set the priests in their apparel with their trumpets, and the Levites grabbed their instruments, and then praise and worship took place, and they began to praise God. So now that the foundation is laid, here come the adversaries. You got the foundation laid for your business. You got the foundation laid for your ministry. Then here comes a distraction. Here comes the adversaries, right? And the people of the land weakened their hands. They discouraged them. They discouraged the people of Judah, and they troubled them in their building. And sometimes when you're building something and you've got the foundation laid, here comes Satan, here comes some foolishness just to discourage you. So the Bible says that they hired counselors to frustrate their purpose. All the days King Cyrus of Persia, even until the reign where Darius became reigning king of Persia. That was about 15 years. So counselors were hired to frustrate them. So don't you think for one minute that the enemy doesn't actually engage people and get people on his side to frustrate your purpose. That word frustrate in the original Aramaic and Hebrew is to cease or to bring to nothing. It means to neutralize or to set aside. So if you think about it, if you put your vehicle in neutral, it can't go forward and it can't go back. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And imagine this happening for 15 years. So we have to be discerning and we have to be perceptive to know when to choose the right thing and when not to serve and when not to do certain things, but to focus on the thing that Jesus is saying to you. You have to make a choice, and you sometimes have to make a command, and you have to tell the mountain to move. You have to tell the distraction to go. You have to command and rebuke the fever. And then sometimes when the adversaries come, and you're just frustrated and you're just standing there, you wait on Jesus. You wait on Jesus. You wait on Jesus. But in that time, you remain steadfast and immovable. So what am I saying? Sometimes you have to ignore those distractions. You have to ignore the distractions until God moves them out of your way. Then the Bible says in Ezra 4:24 that King Ahasuerus called for a cease work order. And God sends not one prophet, but he sent two. Right? Deuteronomy 19:15 and Matthew 18:16 says, and even 2 Corinthians tells us to let the word of the Lord be confirmed by two or three witnesses. But God sent two prophets, and they prophesied to the Jews in Judah and saying in the name of God, meaning under his authority, right? You do this. And then Zerubbabel rose up and Joshua, who came to continue rebuilding the temple. So sometimes you're going to have to ignore the distraction, but remain steadfast in your faith. Remain immovable in your faith. So when you can't delete the deadly distraction and your work is suspended, allow God's replacements to come in and continue the work for you. If it's his angels ministering strength to you, right? If it's his angels doing battle for you like he had to do Daniel, right? The Bible says that God, the angel came and said to Daniel, I heard you from the first day you started praying, but I've been fighting a battle for you. So sometimes that's what's happening. In the spirit realm, that's what's happening. But I want you to know that there are some tips that we have to give you to deleting deadly distractions. And I have six tips for you. One of those things I want to tell you is to think. Think. There, you know, are there certain scenarios that seem to take your focus off what you're doing? Are there certain people that take your focus off what you're doing? In other words, what things tend to have the most influence on your ability or inability to focus and to concentrate? You know, is it television? It helps to note these things because you got to know what your triggers are. This way you can apply some techniques and learn to combat those things or ignore those things or command those things, whatever it is you need to do. Another tip to deleting deadly distractions is write it down. Keep a piece of paper or a post-it note handy. When a distracting thought comes, you can jot it down. Put the piece of paper aside, and the next day or whenever you get a chance or to a breaking point, take a glance at it and decide what you need to do with it. You may need to do nothing with it. It may just have been a distraction you need to ball up and throw away. Another tip to deleting deadly distractions is set your atmosphere. Before you begin your project, create an environment that is conducive to your creativity or to your reading or to your cooking or writing. Whatever that project is, you create the environment so that it is conducive for you to complete the task. If it's closing the doors, if it's putting on a set of headsets that distract or delete noise, You set your own atmosphere in order to delete that deadly distraction, right? So you think, right, are there certain scenarios or triggers? You write it down, jot it on a piece of paper, and then set it aside. You set your atmosphere before you begin. Another way to delete deadly distractions is to set a schedule. You don't prioritize your schedule. You're supposed to schedule your priorities. And too many times, we are doing it the opposite way. We are prioritizing our schedule. But what you need to do is schedule your priorities. In other words, it automatically creates more focus. When you schedule your priorities, it automatically creates more focus. More focus. Another thing you can do to delete deadly distractions is set a time or set a timer. So begin with a set time for regular chores. For example, I know when my husband and I are out in the morning and we decide that day that we're going to do yard work, he generally gives 2 hours to it. So if we're in early in the morning, we give 2 hours to it. Sometimes we go past depending on what the project is, but for the most part, we give it that time because if it's summertime, then the sun's coming up, or we just need to do something else. Or sometimes you cannot like what you're doing anymore if you go any further. So set a timer. Sometimes it may take longer or even less time than you set, but at least you have given yourself a set goal of time. Now, I want to also tell you this may sound silly, but another way to delete deadly distractions is plan to play. Plan to play. Schedule some fun during breaks or at the end of the project. Give yourself a goal, right? I will at least write the chapter headings if you're writing a book, but give yourself a goal and then reward yourself with fun for completing the goal or completing the task. This gives you something to look forward to, which helps create focus to finish. I'm going to say that again. When you schedule fun, it gives you something to look forward to. That helps you create a focus to finish. So I hope we have helped you in deleting deadly distractions. I'm Dr. Linda Chin. This is Linda Chin Ministries, Institute of Biblical Studies, and we are talking about deleting deadly distractions. You can reach us at info@lindachin.com. That is info@LindaChinn.com. We look forward to spending some more time with you and sharing more podcasts to help you get enlightened, renew, and transform your life for fruitful living.